Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Third Wave by Alvin Toffler is a major work of futurism and social analysis first published in 1980, written as a broad interpretation of historical change. It argues that advanced societies were moving out of the industrial age and into a new post-industrial order built around information, knowledge, flexibility, and decentralization. Toffler organizes history through three waves: the agricultural revolution, the industrial revolution, and the emerging information revolution. The book is not a narrow technology forecast. It examines how economic systems, work, family life, education, politics, communication, and cultural values shift when a new civilization begins to replace an older one. Its purpose is to help readers understand why institutions created for mass industrial society were becoming unstable and why new forms of organization were appearing, although some predictions reflect the era in which it was written. The book remains influential because it offers a coherent framework for interpreting large-scale social transformation. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the three-wave model explains history as overlapping civilizational change. Toffler structures the third wave around the idea that human history advances through broad waves of civilization rather than through isolated inventions or political events. The first wave is the agricultural society that replaced nomadic hunting and gathering with settled farming communities. The second wave is industrial society, built around factories, fossil energy, mass production, national markets, centralized institutions, and standardized routines. The third wave is the post-industrial order emerging from information technologies, knowledge work, electronic communication, and flexible organization. The value of this model is not that every country moves at the same speed, but that different waves can coexist and collide within the same world. A rural farming region, an industrial manufacturing center, and a digital service economy may all operate simultaneously, creating political and cultural tension. Toffler uses this framework to explain why societies experience disorder during major transitions. Old institutions remain powerful, while new patterns of work, family, communication, and identity begin to form. The book, therefore, treats change as systemic. Technology matters, but only because it alters the larger arrangement of production, social life, authority, and knowledge. Secondly, second-wave institutions are defined by standardization, centralization, and mass society. A central part of the book is Toffler's analysis of the industrial age as a complete social system, not merely a period of machines and factories. He argues that second-wave civilization organizes life through mass production, mass consumption, mass education, mass media, and bureaucratic administration. Its institutions favor standardization because factories need interchangeable parts, predictable workers, uniform schedules, and measurable outputs. Education often mirrors the factory by sorting students into age groups, enforcing punctuality, and preparing them for repetitive organizational roles. The nuclear family, the corporation, the nation-state bureaucracy, and centralized media all fit this pattern because they help stabilize an industrial economy. Toffler's reasoning is important because it shows why many modern institutions develop similar structures even when they served different purposes. Schools, corporations, government agencies, and media networks all absorb the industrial logic of scale, synchronization, and control. The third wave challenges these assumptions. As information becomes more important than routine labor, institutions built for uniformity begin to look rigid. The book's critique is not simply anti-industrial. It explains why industrial systems were historically effective and why they became less suitable under new technological and economic conditions. Thirdly, the third-wave economy shifts from mass production to knowledge, customization, and presumption. Toffler's account of the emerging economy centers on the declining dominance of mass production and the rising importance of information, knowledge, and customization. In the industrial model, value is created by producing standardized goods at scale and distributing them to passive consumers. In the third wave, value increasingly depends on design, data, communication, specialization, and the ability to respond to varied needs. This leads Toffler to emphasize the prosumer, a person who participates in both production and consumption. The concept captures activities such as self-service, home production, user customization, and later digital participation, where consumers help shape or even create what they use. The idea is significant because it weakens the strict industrial divide between producer and consumer. Toffler also anticipates business forms that rely less on centralized mass manufacturing and more on networks, flexible supply, and knowledge-intensive coordination. The practical implication is that economic power moves toward those who can organize information, adapt quickly, and create differentiated value. The book does not provide a technical theory of the internet age, but it identifies the social logic behind many later developments in digital platforms, customized services, and user-driven production, Fourthly, work, family, and daily life are reorganized by electronic communication and flexible roles. The third wave gives sustained attention to everyday life, especially the ways work and family change when industrial routines lose their dominance. Toffler argues that industrial society separated home and workplace, organized labor around fixed schedules, and reinforced a family structure suited to wage work and mass education. In the emerging information society, electronic communication and knowledge work make some activities less tied to factories, offices, and centralized locations. His discussion of the electronic cottage anticipates forms of remote work and home-based production. Although the actual technologies developed differently from those available in 1980, the broader point is that when work becomes more informational, it can be reorganized around tasks, networks, and flexible arrangements rather than only around physical proximity. Family life also becomes more diverse as economic and cultural conditions change. Toffler discusses the weakening of a single dominant family model and the rise of multiple household forms. This is not presented merely as moral change, but as a structural consequence of a society no longer organized around the uniform rhythms of industrial employment. The book's lasting relevance lies in linking private life to technological and economic systems rather than treating family and work as separate topics. Lastly, political authority is pressured by decentralization, minority power, and faster information flows. Toffler argues that political systems designed for industrial society struggle when citizens, regions, organizations, and interest groups become more diverse and better connected. Second-wave politics often assumes mass parties, centralized administration, national media, and broad uniform constituencies. The third wave weakens these arrangements by multiplying sources of information and making social groups more specialized. As societies become less homogeneous, majority rule alone becomes harder to apply cleanly because political demands fragment into many smaller but persistent interests. Toffler sees this as both a challenge and an opportunity. The challenge is institutional overload. Governments built for slower, more centralized decision-making may become unable to process complex and rapidly changing demands. The opportunity is the possibility of more participatory and decentralized forms of democracy, with decisions made closer to the people and communities affected by them. His political argument is not a detailed constitutional blueprint, but a diagnosis of mismatch between industrial-era governance and post-industrial complexity. The book stands out because it connects political instability to deeper changes in production, communication, and social identity, rather than attributing unrest only to leaders, parties, or short-term policy failures. In conclusion, the third wave is best suited for readers interested in futurism, social theory, business change, public policy, education, media, and the history of technological transformation. It is especially useful for those who want a large framework rather than a narrow forecast. Business readers can use it to understand why rigid industrial models give way to networks, customization, knowledge work, and user participation. Educators and policymakers can benefit from its critique of institutions designed for standardization and its insistence that systems must adapt when the surrounding civilization changes. General readers gain a vocabulary for understanding why changes in work, family, politics, and communication often feel connected rather than separate. The book stands out from many technology books because it does not treat innovation as a list of gadgets. Toffler's distinctive contribution is to show how technology, economy, culture, and institutions reinforce one another inside a civilizational pattern. Compared with more recent books on the digital age, some examples feel dated and some predictions are speculative. Yet the underlying structure remains valuable because it explains transition, conflict, and institutional mismatch. Its importance lies less in perfect prediction than in its disciplined attempt to map the social architecture of the information age before that age was fully visible. If you would like to support Alvin Toffler, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.